Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, a 30-minute walk through the Scripture, teaching in-depth Bible truth to change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldick.
Okay, good to have everybody back with us again after your coffee break, and we're ready to start our second half hour. We're going to stay in Psalms chapter 45, but again, for those of you tuning in on TV, in case we've got some new listeners, we always like to make them aware, we're just a verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and we don't get denominational. I try to keep everything neutral. I don't attack anybody, but we're just going to open up the Scriptures and see what the book says. I had a letter yesterday that's just exactly what it said. I love it when you say, well, what does the book say? Because that's really what counts. And then again, we like to thank you for your prayers, your letters, and your financial support, because we can't do without any of that. All right, let's just go right into where we left off in our last half hour. Psalms chapter 45, and now we've just established in our closing remarks that this is a messianic psalm because the book of Hebrews quotes it word for word, that this is indeed the words of the Lord Jesus as the Holy Spirit inspired David to write it. Now always remember the time element. David is writing 1000 B.C., but as we're going to see in one of our later programs, if I get that far, the Holy Spirit evidently even prepared some of these psalms to be used at a later time by Israel's kings. And it's just some of the amazing aspects of Scripture. All right, so writing 1000 B.C., these very things that were spoken and fulfilled then at the time of Christ's first advent, now we come into something that is further into the future, and that is the reference to when he becomes not only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's going to be the bridegroom. And so we're going to look at that aspect in the rest of this chapter. And the language is so evident. Verse 8, Psalms 45. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. In other words, all the perfume that was attendant with the bride. Verse 9, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. In other words, what we would call the bridesmaids and so forth, the wedding company. All right, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Now, when you think of someone being dressed in gold, what do we call it? Gold what? What's the word? Lame, isn't it? Huh? Is that right? Gold lame. It's just like thin tissue paper. It's gold, but it's still like a material. Well, you know, that's exactly what the ancients would do when they had all the wealth from their subjects. And so here we have the beauty of this glorious union between the bridegroom and his bride. All right, now before we go any further, I'm probably going to shock some of you, as I was almost shocked as I started chasing some of these things down. And turn with me to Isaiah. You know, when I get ready for all these things, I have to make up my mind, am I going to do this early or late? Should I do it after I've taught the chapter or before we teach it? So I'm going to take it before. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62, and I may get some repercussions. I don't know. Somebody may just say, Les, you're nutty as a fruitcake. But I'm going to go with what I feel the book is teaching. Isaiah chapter 62, and we're going to establish who is this bride who is going to become part of the bridegroom, who is the king and the Messiah and God the Son. All right, Isaiah chapter 62, and we can just start at verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Jerusalem! See? Jerusalem! And if you could have been with us the other day. Am I right, Roberta? Chuck? Jody? Can you see it? Oh, what a glorious panorama. Even under the wicked situation that is today. Can you imagine it when it becomes the capital of the Prince of Peace? And it's going to be the capital of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It just boggles the mind. And that's what I want you to get a glimpse of now, that this is what the psalmist is referring to. See? All right, reading on in Isaiah 62. I don't want to read too much or I'll lose your attention, but on the other hand, nothing speaks better or louder than the scripture itself. All right, verse 2. And the Gentiles. Now we're going to see reference to them back in Psalms 45. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Well, that's not evident today. Oh, anything but, see? But the day will come when Jerusalem will be the epitome of righteousness. And all kings will see thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem, which speaks of kings and queens, in the hand of thy God. Now remember, who are we talking about? Jerusalem. Don't forget that now. Thou, Jerusalem, shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, thy land shall be called Beulah. You know the song, Oh, Beulah Land? All right. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be what? Married. You weren't expecting language like that, were you? But this is the whole concept, that when Christ returns and sets up his capital on Mount Zion, where David had his, the city of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, will be God's bride. See? All right, let's read on. This is too good to leave. Verse 5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. Who? Jerusalem, the city. See? So thy sons shall marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You know what I did with this the other night? I practiced it on her, didn't I, honey? I practiced it on her. I said, honey, do you see what it's talking about? Jerusalem, that gorgeous city on the top of the mountain, see? In pure white. All right, read on. Verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls. Now, doesn't that make it plain? So what are we talking about? The city. See? The walls that surround the city. And I have set watchmen upon thy walls. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, don't lose it. Don't lose this. Oh, I wish you could have all been with us. Don't you? You can see what I'm talking about? Jody? Chuck? Oh, it was just gorgeous this time for some reason or other. Maybe it's because of this. But, oh, Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn or grain to be food for thine enemies. That's always been the case, you know. The Syrians would come in, the Babylonians come in, the Egyptians would come in and take their crops of grain. Surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thy enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. See, that's what Israel is going to enjoy when their king sets up this glorious kingdom. And they who have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, stones. Have you ever seen so many? I mean, the land is covered with rocks. But, of course, where they till it, it all has to be. You remember Nancy. You've been there years back. But, you see, now I can talk to her. She was one of the first trips we made. Now it's just expanding and expanding and expanding. You remember when we were in the field there where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, went down like a dish? That was all just weeds and grass. Now it's all bananas. I mean, it's just unbelieving how the land is increasing in production area. See, I mean, it's just, but it has to be cleared. It's solid rocks. All right, so here we go. Gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world, say you to the daughter of Zion, and who's the daughter of Zion? Jerusalem. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now here comes, this is the frosting on the cake. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou, Jerusalem, shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, isn't that gorgeous? All right, now, with that as a backdrop, come back to Psalms 45. Verse 10. Hearken, listen. O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the King, God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, now as King of kings and Lord of lords, so shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. Whose beauty? Jerusalem! See, don't lose it. Now, don't lose it. Jerusalem's beauty. And, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Now, Tyre was a Gentile city up on the Mediterranean seacoast. And so, the Gentile cities of Palestine will be there like guests at a wedding. See? Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Gold lame, again, if that's what it's called. Where actually these thin sheets of gold can be constructed in a way that becomes a garment. All right? And she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. In other words, that will be the federal, fellow companions of the nation of Israel. That follow her shall be brought unto thee. Now verse 15. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. In other words, out of Jerusalem, you see, the Jews will scatter throughout that kingdom period of the 1,000 years, and they're going to be actually the leaders of all the Gentile part of the world. All right, come back with me a minute. Deuteronomy. We've looked at it, I think, maybe even our last taping, but some of these things bear repeating now when we talk about Israel's role in this 1,000-year millennial reign. Because they're not just going to be cooped up in the little land of Israel. They are going to be evident throughout the kingdom. And Israel, as God's righteous people, will be superior to all the other Gentile nations and what have you. Deuteronomy 28. And let's just jump in again at verse 9 of Deuteronomy 28. See, now, goodness sakes, who wrote Deuteronomy? Well, Moses. How long before King David was Moses? 500 years. So you got Moses at 500 or 1500 BC, David at 1000 B.C., and then in one of our next program, we're going to be dealing with Isaiah, who was 300 years still later. He was only 700 B.C., but everything fits. Hundreds of years in between, and it all fits. That's why I love this book. It's so supernatural. This isn't the work of men. This is the Word of God, see? All right, Deuteronomy 28, and did I say verse 9? Okay, the Lord shall establish thee, the nation of Israel now, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way. Now this, of course, is at the onset of Israel's nationhood, but of course it'll come to reality in the kingdom, because only believing Jews will be part of that, just like believing Gentiles are part of the body of Christ. It doesn't include the lost, the unbeliever, but only the believer. All right, now then, verse 10. And all people of the earth, from stem to stern, see, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee because of their position. Now verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body. In other words, they're going to have children till who knows. And in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land, the promised land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. They're finally going to get it. And nobody's going to argue with them. Nobody is going to try and take it away from them, because their king is in their midst. Now, I'll be coming to that in another half hour this afternoon, how that the Lord is in the midst of Israel throughout this thousand-year period of time. All right, now verse 11. I just read that one. Verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. My, wouldn't Wall Street love to have this? Israel is going to be the money center of the world. The King of Kings is going to be in control of whatever financial needs they're going to have. Oh, my goodness. This is beyond comprehension, see? And bless all the work of thy hand. Thou shalt lend to many nations. Thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head. See how plain that is? Today, if you were to depict all the nations of the world in a beast of some sort, an animal, where would Israel be? Clear out at the tip of the tail. See, and that's what the scripture is saying. You're not going to be the tail. You're going to be the head. That's Israel's future. Beloved, get excited for them. They've been downtrodden for 6,000 years. Not quite six. Four. 4,000 years, ever since Abraham. They've been the downtrodden. And they've been the scorned and the persecuted. But, oh, their day is coming. Remember what our verses say? First the what? Huh? First the suffering. And then what? The glory that's going to follow. Here it is. Their glory is still coming. All right, verse 13. The Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. They're not going to be at the bottom of the totem pole. They're going to be at the top. See? If thou hearken unto the command of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. Well, that's Israel's future once the king and the kingdom is brought in. But, of course, we have to realize that can't happen until the body of Christ is complete, because that's where God is dealing today. He's dealing with the Gentile world. He's calling out a people for his name. And all of that is part of the timeline regarding the tribulation and the second coming and then the bringing in of this glorious, glorious kingdom. All right. Verse 16, back to Psalms 45. Back to 16. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. In other words, there's going to be a tremendous reproduction in the kingdom economy. They're going to have children. That reminds me. I think I've got time enough. Let's jump ahead to verses that we've used before. Jump ahead to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I knew I wanted to use it sometime this afternoon. I just didn't know exactly when. But this is probably as good a time as any. When it speaks of their children, they're going to be reproducing. They're going to have families. And there's going to be a tremendous reproduction. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, speaking again of God the Son, the Messiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem or the family line of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the word branch is capitalized because it is referenced as God the Son throughout the Old Testament. And then verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those are all the sevenfold spirits or attributes of the Spirit. They'll all be centered on the King. All right, verse 4, with righteousness he shall judge or rule the poor, and with equity for the meek he will reprove of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, which of course is previous to all this during the tribulation. And then with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Everything that is unrighteous will be removed. Now verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. In other words, all the attributes of God himself will be shown forth in this King of Kings. All right, now then, when you jump down from the authority of the king and we see the operation of the kingdom itself into the everyday life of the people, verse 6, the wolf will dwell with a lamb. In other words, no more carnivorous activity. They will not be angry and seeking out the food from another species. But the wolf shall dwell with a lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the baby goat, the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling lie down together. And now here it comes. This is what made me think of these verses. And a little what? A little child shall leave them. Well, where'd the child come from? From their Jewish parents, see, who have been all part of this glorious kingdom. In verse 7, the cow and the bear shall feed, that is, in the same pasture. Their young ones shall lie down together. And, oh, this is shocking, isn't it? And the lion, the most carnivorous of all, the lion shall eat grass or forage like cattle or like the ox, and the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice dung. They'll be within and out of these wild, what we call wild carnivorous animals, but they're going to be tame as pets. And then here's the reason. Verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy. No death because of these wild animals. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, that is his whole kingdom, like I said earlier, from stem to stern, from one end of this earth to the other, from pole to pole. It's all going to be a heaven on earth environment. All right. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. That's going to be the environment of this kingdom. There will be no evil. There will be no unrighteousness. There will be no weeds or thistles or things that deter food production. All right, now then, let's come back a minute to chapter 45 at Psalms. So verse 16. Instead of thy father shall be the children. That's why I went back to this in Isaiah. Whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. They're not just going to be confined to Israel. They're going to be used throughout the kingdom. Now, verse 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. And remember now, again, I think we're still talking about the bride. We're talking about the city of Jerusalem. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Now, all of the Old Testament is looking forward to this glorious kingdom. Now, I haven't got enough time to start on in chapter 46, but let's just pursue a few more of these prophetic scriptures concerning this kingdom. Jump up ahead again to Isaiah chapter 2. And these are verses that we've used in times gone by, but when I think something was done a couple months ago, I come to find out it's a couple years ago. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so it's probably been that long since we used these. But Isaiah chapter 2, dropping in at verse 2. And this is all in reference to this same kingdom over which Christ will rule, and Jerusalem will be the bride, the wife of Jehovah, and the Jewish people will be preeminent in everything that they do. Verse 2. It shall come to pass. And how do I always follow those words? When the Bible says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Maybe not as soon as we think, but it is going to happen. So it'll come to pass in the last days. In other words, after the tribulation and the second coming has taken place, that the mountain or the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. In other words, it'll be above any earthly kingdom that has ever existed. It's going to be superior to anything. All right, and then we'll just close it up with this. And it shall be exalted above the hills or any other previous empires or kingdoms. And all nations shall what? Flow into it. In other words, I've said it over and over, all the world looks to America. Whenever they get in a jam, if it's a big disaster, whatever, who do they look for? They look for America. They may hate us, but oh, they want everything that we can do for them. And it's the same way now. This financial debacle, even though we triggered it, yet they are still looking for us to be able to bring the whole thing to fruition. Well, that's going to be Israel's role someday.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.